part of the lesson is about prayer, so. Nah. But we start a new study today in 1 Samuel. And title of the lesson is Answered, but has anybody ever had a prayer request or a prayer need answered?
Every day.
And I'll start the lesson off this way. Could you say that prayer is letting go of something that's on your mind, something that's on your heart? Or is it holding on to something that's on your mind or on your heart? And when you pray, do you have to write your prayer? Can you write a prayer and it be considered a prayer? Or does it have to be just spontaneous? I call on someone to pray, and you just pray. Whatever.
I journal every day, and 90% of what I journal is prayer.
But during our time of prayer, if you're having resentment or despair, does God accept those prayers? Or does He push those off to the side?
I think He accepts them because I think in praying, you relate and open your heart up raw to Him that you wouldn't ever do to anybody else. There are just things that you're not ashamed of, but there are just things that you just need to share with one person, and that would be Him. And we're raw when we really... A lot of times when you go to pray, you're so raw from, like you said, the resentment and the grief and the, just life itself sometimes, that you need to be able to be... can be totally honest with Him. First, you know, it's not going anywhere except between you and Him.
Are we sometimes too, I'll say, we'll use reclusive, that I have a prayer need or a prayer thought, but I don't want anybody to know? Now, is that good or bad?
Well, that's good because you're keeping it to yourself. It's between you and the Lord.
Between you and the Lord.
Nobody else.
But, I mean, I'm just asking questions. Should others hear it? Or are we fearful sometimes that I'm going to say in a group of people, I want you to pray for this certain situation, and somebody may think, that's nothing. That's not a problem. You know, that's minor. I've got something more important than that to pray about. But we've all been in churches and all in meetings, and someone will say, I have an unspoken request. Is it wrong to say, I have an unspoken request, without letting it be known what it is?
No. Just sometimes has to be between you and the Lord.
God knows what's on your heart.
Yeah, He already knows.
He already knows. And when we pray and we ask for something, and do we expect an immediate answer? Or and if your prayer is not answered, do you think, well, God didn't hear me, or my prayer is not important?
God answers on His own time.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I think that comes into my, as a Christian, a true Christian, is praying. Somewhere after you prayed and you didn't they didn't answer it like that. Somehow in your mind, I guess the Holy Spirit kind of refreshes the clarity, you know, in my time. It's gonna happen, but it's gonna be on my time.
But do a lot of these little things we've talked about keep people from practicing prayer? You know, Lord, I ask you, and I've been asking you for 3 weeks now to do this, and it hadn't been done, so I'm through. I'm not going to.
Telling my kids in God's time.
Right.
He's got a plan. He's going to handle it according to his schedule, not according to
your schedule. And do we sometimes ask for things that God really doesn't need to intervene in? It's things that we could take charge of ourselves, but we don't know where to go. We don't know how to take that step.
Like asking him to change my heart.
Only you
can. And then just respond. So I'm asking him to help change my heart, and I'm going to sit here and wait for him.
But it says that, you know, persevere and be persistent.
Right. Right.
Because he says we don't have things, but we don't ask.
Right, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Because that's, we see that in the lesson today. We're going to talk about Hannah, and I'm sure we all know Hannah and her situation and her heart. Just a little slight background. Hannah was married, and in the early days, I read a little background about this. It wasn't wrong or wasn't nothing thought of for polygamy. I mean, there was another wife involved. And the husband is Elkanah. I think I'm saying that right. And every year, at the time of sacrifice, he would leave the home. He would go, and he would make his offerings, his sacrifice. To his first wife, he would give portions of meat and food. And it tells us with Hannah, he would give her a double portion. Because he loved her, because he cared for her. But Hannah couldn't have children. So is that the reason he did this to her? Now, Hannah's heart, she desired a child. Really desired a son, because in the early days, it's in the family, the way things worked, you owned land, you had a son. If something happened to the father, the son would step in, the land would go to him and take over. So the desire of every family, husband, wife, was to have a son. Hannah had none. Now, it also tells us, and we can kind of correlate and relate this to the story of Mary. Now, there are some similarities, but differences. Mary wasn't married. Hannah was. Sure, Mary desired a child, had probably thoughts of a child, but never knew she would be blessed in the way she was blessed. Hannah kept praying for this. But in the life of a family, and I know none of us can, because I would say, hopefully, truthfully, there's no polygamy going on around, but put yourself in that position. If you had to compete with another wife,
that'd be bad, wouldn't it?
And, and she had children by the same husband, but you couldn't bear children, and you prayed, and she heard your prayers, but she made fun of you. Why, you know, why do you keep asking for this? You know, how would that make you feel?
I think there'd be a lot of jealousy going on.
Kid, it says, starting in verse 10, it said that, well, I'll back up. Her husband even asked, one year he went to the feast and made his offerings. It says, while he was gone, her rival, which is the other wife, provoked her until she wept and would not eat. It says, Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Well, the love of a husband should, quote, be satisfying. But her heart wasn't satisfied. She wanted a child. She had prayed to God. She wanted that. And it goes on to say that once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up and Eli the priest was sitting in a chair next to the doorpost. And it said, in the bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Now the writer points out that when she says deeply hurt, you could pretty much say, my soul is bitter. You know, Lord, I desire this, and I prayed and I prayed, and I don't see any responses, and I'm hurt. But a lot of that, like I say, can come from the competition with the other wife. Is, you know, people can be mean and ugly. Probably said things, you know, why should you worry about this? You're taken care of. But that wasn't her heart. But do we ever stop and think, or possibly think, that Hannah kept thinking that if Elkanah died, the husband died, the other wife, and I guess her name is Peninnah, she had sons, they would take over, so where's it going to put me? Are they going to kick me out? So is Hannah being selfish, asking for a son so that she would be taken care of the rest of her life? Or is she being doubtful that this is going to happen and this, they're just going to kick me out? Is she worried, fearful?
Fearful. Yeah, and also because it says, you know, he gave her double portion.
Mm-hmm.
So what that meant, the other wife, they didn't get as much folly as they had anticipated because he made sure Hannah was taken care of.
Well, I think just the reading part is that Elkanah was very generous in what he did as far as his offering, so I would just think whatever he gave to the first wife, he just doubled that portion to Hannah. Nothing there to show any partiality.
Well, she's kind of like Ruth, too. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to take care of Ruth? And, you know, mm-hmm. Her mother-in-law, she was kind of in the same boat.
Because not, and I guess I did not know this, but Hannah, I guess being the first wife, if she had a son, then he goes to the head of the line as far as inheritance and taking over. So, can we say that Hannah lived in an unhappy situation? But it goes on to say, and like we've read verse 11, where it said, you know, Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give me a son. Could somebody interpret that and say that Hannah's prayer is a little disturbing? You know, why would she bargain with the Lord? Should we, in our prayers, in our talking with the Lord, in our request, should we be careful? Let me put it this way. Well, Lord, this is the situation. This is what I'm in. if you get me out of this, I'll do this.
Bargaining the Lord.
Yeah, I think now, you need to be careful, though, yeah. because if you don't fulfill that, I think you're kind of in a worse situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you promise the Lord you're going to do something or bargain with him, then I think that's you have to really be careful on that, I think.
Or do we, in that situation, do we make promises to God that then we fail to keep?
Don't you now, think she was so desperate to have a son yeah. that she was willing to bargain with?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I think that's
yeah.
just anything.
Right. Yeah.
I think we find ourselves in it sometimes when our situations are like a grief situation, and you know that somebody is dying, and you know in your heart that they will be in a better place. The suffering will be gone and all that. But it's just, you know, Lord, just can I just a little bit longer? Can I keep them
mm-hmm.
more days? I need, I can't. And we get overwhelmed in our own needs that we really stop thinking about that, just like joy is in his time.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless how much we pray, for him to let him stay here 6 more months, that in 6 more minutes he could be gone and it would be his time. I don't think we, that's a human aspect. I think, you know, she's like we are.
Some women weren't meant to have children. Some women weren't meant to marry. Some
right.
Some women weren't meant to have children.
Right. Because really our relationship with God is based upon grace. He's offered his grace to us freely. We're to accept it and do his works. Because the greatest answer or the greatest gift by grace that he's ever given anyone is forgiveness of your sin. And we take it for granted. You know, I did it once, so I can do it again because I know that my God's going to always forgive me. Well, there may be some truth to that, but somewhere along the line, you've got to learn a lesson.
Didn't he finally get tired of Israel doing what they did?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He led them away. He led them to the land of promise, and they didn't like it. They kept complaining. But God does answer prayers in a personal way lots of times. Because in verse 12, it said she kept praying to the Lord, and Eli observed her mouth. It says Hannah was praying in her heart, but her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And Eli, I guess because of the ceremonies, he thought she was drunk. Well, he made a judgment call. How long will you keep on getting drunk? Is his question to her. When will you quit drinking the wine? And Hannah replied, "It's not so, my Lord. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord." It says, "Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." What's Eli's response? "Well, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him." Did Eli take time to ask her why? Tell me what's going on, you know. Maybe I can intervene with you, and I can join you in your sorrow and in your prayer and help. Nope, just leave. Mm-mm. Did he brush her off, or did he quickly realize that what she said was true? Brushed her off?
Well, he told her he hoped her petition would be granted.
But he didn't know the issue.
But a lot of times you ask people to pray for him. "Would you please pray for me? I'm not going to tell you why, but would you just pray for me?"
But Is this part of what we said earlier, the unspoken request?
Yeah, because it said
Hannah gave her heart, I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. She didn't say, but kind of tell him, I've been praying for something.
And then you compare Hannah to Mary and Luke and Mary. One of the verses is Luke and Mary. She pondered these things in her heart.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't tell everybody what was going on her heart, just like
Hannah didn't
tell everybody what was going on in her heart.
Mm-hmm. Because when Eli tells her, or Hannah replies in verse 18, says, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Now, this writer kind of puts out a comparison is, in the worship service, if the pastor, whoever worship leader, says, may the Lord be with you, what should our response be? Should we in turn say, and also with you? But do we sometimes just, he said, may the Lord be with me. I don't have to pray for him. He's a man of God anyway. He doesn't have any problems. He doesn't have any worries. But we should reciprocate in that. But as the story goes, in the lesson, it says, verse 19, early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord and then went back to their home in Ramah. It says, Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Now, going back, when her promise was that if you give me a son, I will return him to the Lord for all the days of his life. This comes to fruition because she is blessed with a son. And at the next ceremony, the time comes, Samuel's really not old enough, but Elkanah can't understand why she doesn't want to go, and she explains to him, when he is able to be weaned, then I will take him, because my promise is I'm taking him to give him to the Lord. Now, verses 26 and 28, because he did, that came through, and they did go to the ceremony. Verse 25 says, when they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. And she said, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I ask of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. How do you think Eli feels now? Or would he feel excitement? Would he feel looking at Hannah, maybe a little disappointment in itself that he questioned her at one point in her life? You know, why do you do this? Why are you, you know, called her a drunk? I don't see your lips moving. I see your lips moving, but I don't hear any voice. You know, something's not right here. And then her response back to him. She didn't tell him. She told him she was praying for something for a long time with anguish, but she really didn't say. But now she shows back up with a son. Do you think Eli had any problem accepting Samuel at that point?
He might have thought, oh Lord, I have this child.
because he wasn't a young man.
Mm-mm. And don't you think Eli, maybe his heart changed from in verse 15 down to 17 when he said, go in peace and the Lord of God will grant you your petition.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Holy Spirit change his heart in an instant that Eli would say that? Otherwise, why did he tell her to go in peace?
Well, he tells her to go in peace, and may the God... He didn't really say, and the God of Israel will provide for you. He just said, may the God. So that was, you could say, his request, his prayer to the Lord is, listen to her. Listen to her petitions to you.
I mean, we hear people that you talk about, they stand in the gap and pray for you. It's like Eli did.
Mm-hmm.
Like he got between her and the Lord, and he prayed for her also.
Mm-hmm. But kind of finishing up, can we say that the conversations between Eli and Hannah, they're, let's say, two facts about prayer that believers should look at? The first one is it's not always necessary to tell others the detail of the request. Some people are private. Some people don't want you knowing everything that's going on. You may be worried about a situation. You may have a health issue, and I'd say 90% of us automatically think of the worst, but then it doesn't happen. So an unspoken request is legitimate. But secondly, if that prayer is answered in your time, is it important to come back to the people that did intercede on your behalf and pray for you? Is it important to come back and tell the people, my prayers have been answered? Do we see that much? We do see it because In the life of the church, we've had situations, illnesses and sicknesses, and, I mean, we've used this before, but Jeanette Corley, when they called her down and sat down and prayed over her, and then she went back for results to her doctor, and it's not there.
She shares that every
And we also, we do receive thank yous from the Wednesday night letters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Messages, or they send cards, or, I mean, I know the gentleman that showed up that Sunday and just, you know, wanted to thank the church for the letters, how much it meant to them. That's a touch, and people, you know, I'm on a prayer list, being on a prayer list and knowing somebody's praying for you, you know, especially it's touching people that are, I'm not saying not Christians, but maybe their walk has been weak. This has made them mm-hmm. struggle.
Plus, it kind of reinforces us and gives us strength.
Mm-hmm. So that young man that you're talking about, it came on Sunday after that, and he went to the prayer room, and he has a
thing. Thank God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He said it had strengthened him, those letters, and just been such a blessing.
Because I guess we could close in saying that in these instances where maybe you have the unspoken request, but and then it's met, when you come back and share it with other people, could it also encourage someone else who's going through something but they're keeping it to themselves? Could it encourage that person to say, well, Reginald got up and spoke, why can't I? You know, I say this lightly. I had a cousin that was a pastor. You know, he said, sometimes prayer requests are wonderful and great, but some you just really don't need to. Aunt Emma's big toe on her right foot is swollen. You know, that sometimes maybe that's not as important as someone who is facing something else, a life-changing effect. So.
Well, this same cousin he went to, he was a director of missions in Orlando, and he was in a first church at Winterbart, and they retired and they moved to the mountains. Well, he went to a country church. They had never been, they had always been, I teased them all the time about, they were always high church. I said, y'all have nothing. So the first Sunday he went, there were two things. One thing, he had to preach out of the original King James. They would not be using another Bible. That was the only Bible they could. And then they had an altar call. And so Bill said, you know, altar call, people came to the altar to pray. And so then he said, let's pray. He said, everybody started praying, but they prayed out loud.
Oh.
And he said it was like, he said at first I was kind of, you know, because the songs are different, the music, everything's different in a little country, y'all know that. But he said, then I got to thinking, this is just the way it's going to be in heaven. And so he said it was just, you know, they learned a lot in a small, it was very, for especially for his wife, very eye-opening, because she said, no, and they just played by the ear, you know, they just played them. And Brenda said, I would ask for a C, like note C, and they would look at her like, what? But she said, I just had to learn to sing like this.
The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.